Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we continue the Thriving in Babylon series with a message from Associate Pastor Lauren Kraft. Now here's Pastor Lauren.
Understood that it was ripped from him. It was all taken away. But here's what's amazing. King Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm glad that that happened. I'm glad that I lost everything because redemption happened, yes, but even something greater. See, King Nebuchadnezzar understood this, that he had everything that a man or a woman could ever want for sure, but there was still something missing in him. There was still a hole in him to the place where it drove him to fear. There was a spiritual cancer, if you will, that was inside King Nebuchadnezzar. And the name of that spiritual cancer is pride. Pride can be a spiritual cancer. I wonder if you're in here this morning and maybe your life has fallen apart. Maybe your life has fallen apart. Or maybe your life is about ready to fall apart. And I wonder if maybe you're here because God wants you here at this moment, because God wants to cut away the spiritual cancer of your life. Pride will rob you of your sleep, that's for sure. Nebuchadnezzar was content, he was prosperous, but his sleep was troubled because God kept bugging him. God kept waking him up. But listen, because God is merciful and because God loves you, he's going to send voices. He's going to send people. He's going to send circumstances into your life to speak to you if you're willing to listen. And I guess that's the key, isn't it? If we're willing to listen. And so I want to invite you this morning to quickly go on this journey with me, to listen to the warnings of not only Daniel, but of King Nebuchadnezzar, and that maybe if there's a fog in our minds and our hearts this morning, that would be somehow stripped away and we'd allow God to heal us of that. In the Bible, we see that there's two kinds of pride. The first kind of pride I like to call good life pride, and the second I like to call hard life pride. Good life pride, we all get. We get that. If you're prospering, if you're doing good, if you have lots of money, if you have a big house, if you have a phenomenal family, if you have a great job, if you're a ruler of your kingdom, that can build pride into your life. And pride says this. Pride says, I did it. I did it. The reason I'm here today is because I worked harder than anybody else. I worked smarter than anybody else. I worked longer than anybody else. I've worked more ethical than anybody else. Maybe I'm more spiritual than anybody else. And that's the pride that says this. It says, I'm owed this. I'm owed this. Because of all that I've done, my success today is something that's owed me. Listen, I put in my time. I'm owed this. That's really pride. But the second kind of pride, the hard times pride, I think is probably something even more a little insidious, because it likes to hide behind hard times. Hard times pride sounds like this. I have it harder than anybody else. Everybody else succeeds except for me. Why do they get to be manager and I'm never the manager? Why does it seem like every time I turn around, they always get more money, or they find success, or God is blessing them somehow? But it all comes down to the very same phrase, which is this: I'm owed this. I'm owed this. I've paid my dues. And because I don't have everything, man, I've been trying. Lord knows I've been trying. And you know what that kind of pride does too? It likes to skip ahead of God, right? It makes us lose our patience. And it takes us to a place where if God isn't going to act, then I'm going to act instead of God. My senior pastor used to say this all the time. He'd say, you know, God is never late, but man, he sure missed a few great opportunities to be early. And Listen, we've all been there. We've all felt that. We've all sensed that. God, can't you come through at this moment and help me through this? You know, and for me, you know, a lot of you guys know my story. And during the recession, we lost everything, our family. We lost our home. We lost material things. And at some point, I was so down in the dumps that I forgot to turn to God because I was a little frustrated with him. And instead of listening to him and submitting to him and humbling myself before him, I became prideful and really with a sense of, well, God, listen, if you're not going to take care of me, if you're not going to take care of my family, I'm going to do it myself. The heck with that. I'm going to do it myself. And if that isn't a clear definition of what pride is, I don't know what is. Hard life pride. Psalm 10, chapter 10, verse 4 says this. Says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. And I tell you what, when pride moves in, it becomes that spiritual cancer within us. It's so easy to come to a place where my mind is so consumed with pride. And listen, this is also how pride works too. Pride can sneak in as fear. Pride can sneak in as fear, right? I can be so fearful of where I am, what may happen, what may not happen, all the possibilities, they weigh me down, and they so consume me that I don't have any room in my thinking. It's nowhere in the realm of my thinking about who God is and the possibilities that he can redeem for me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says this. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is the poor in spirit? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit means that we know that we are so spiritually bankrupt that if it wasn't for the mercy and the grace of God, we could never approach the Father. So it's coming to him in humility and saying, except for your grace, except for your mercy, God, it's not going to happen. Can I offer some free advice this morning to you? That's kind of what you're getting all morning anyway, right? So I shouldn't even ask. When I was a kid, I was in a small group with my youth pastor, and I'll never forget this. I said in my prayer, because we were all praying out loud, I said, God, would you please humble me? And my youth pastor grabbed me by the sleeve, and he pulled me in. He jerked me in. He said, don't you ever pray that prayer. Don't you ever pray that prayer. That is one of the most dangerous prayers that you can ever pray. What does it say in James? James chapter 4, it says, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. And then he says, so humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself. Don't pray that God would humble you. Trust me, you don't want God to humble you. King Nebuchadnezzar did not want God to humble him, and you don't want God to humble you either. But make no mistake about it, if you don't, he will. Because he loves you that much. But what happens when we humble ourselves? He says he opposes the proud, but he shows favor. He shows favor to the humble. I don't know about you, but I'm all over God's favor. Give me favor. I want more of his favor. If there's anything that should drive me to my knees, it's not just the grace of God, but it's the favor of God. Do you know just by a simple turn of your heart this morning towards him, a simple step of humility, you could literally walk out of this place with the favor of God following you, going before you, hovering over you. King David says it in the Psalm 139. He says, you've hedged me in before and behind. You've placed your hand upon my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I don't get it. It's just so awesome. But everywhere I go, God is there. And God will do that for you, too. If you step into humility, God wants to show you favor. Listen, it's weird to me because it seems like some people, everywhere they go, things go wrong, right? It's like poor Charlie Brown or poor Eeyore. Hi, I'm Pastor Lauren, right? Everything seems to be going wrong. And I tell you, we can get so stuck in the pride of everything going wrong that we can kind of wear that as a coat and own it. Don't own that. Own the favor of God by humbling yourself before God. It's as simple as that. Humility is obviously the opposite of pride, but pride makes us look at life differently. Pride makes us look at life and say, I am the author of my life. I am the author of my life. When really life is a gift. How can I be the author of something that was given to me? A few years ago when our kids were younger, Friday nights we would always go out for dinner. You know, it could be Burger King, Baja Fresh, you know, it didn't matter. It was never steak, but it was always something fun, like Panda Express. Now I'm getting hungry. But we would invite our kids to help make the decision on where we should go for dinner. We want them to be part of that decision making. And so we'd all throw out our ideas, and then we'd have to narrow it down. And then an hour later in the car, we finally get going where we're supposed to be going. And so we always land on, hopefully, usually, one of the ideas that our kids had. We have dinner, get back in the car. And Katie or I would say, man, that was a great dinner. I'm so thankful for that dinner. And one of our kids would say out loud, you're welcome. And the first time I heard that, I just chuckled because they were taking credit for something that was a gift. And so finally, when they got older and they continued to say that, I said, do you not get that I work 40 hours a week? Do you not get that your mom works 40 hours a week plus so we can go out for dinner? We're paying for your meal, and you're taking credit for it. Good for you. That's awesome. But let's learn that lesson now. And the same thing is true, that when we begin to think that we're somehow the author of our life, we are essentially doing the same thing that when God gives us a gift, we're saying, I did that. I did that. Listen, don't mistake that with dreams. God wants you to dream. He wants you to hope. He wants you to have vision for your life. Jesus says, hey, I want to give you the desires of your heart. But what does it say in Hebrews 12:2? He says that Jesus is the author and finisher of what? My faith. When it comes to the things I do spiritually, and by the way, everything that I do spiritually affects everything else in my life. Make no mistake about that. What I choose to do spiritually will affect my money, my relationships, my home life, my work life, my successes, my failures. Whatever it is in my life are affected by what I choose to do with my faith and what happens spiritually. Spiritual humility is saying that I'm utterly dependent on God. But the issue really comes when I say that I have the final say on my body, my time, my money, my finances. And we've come to a place in life, we've come to a place in the world where we say, am I really going to trust the authority of God's word? Am I really going to let it dictate what I should do? Do you know that another name for the Bible is the canon? In canon, when it is literally translated, it translates to the word ruler. Not a ruler like a king, but a ruler like you get smacked on the butt with. A ruler that you measure things by. A ruler. The word of God is a ruler, and it measures everything we do. And if it doesn't measure up to the word of God, it doesn't measure up. And we need to come back to a place of humility before God's word that says, your word above all else. Your word before my word. Because pride is by me and for me. But his word stands forever. It always has been, it is today, and it always will be. You know, the outcome of pride is really kind of strange. And this is really kind of a strange story too. It says that King Nebuchadnezzar found himself eating grass like a cow. That's weird. Can you imagine that today if Obama or King Trump. We're not going to go there. If President Trump, let's just think about that today. If President Trump was missing from the White House, the Secret Service found him on the back lawn eating grass. Man, that would be all the newspapers. It'd be on CNN, Fox News. It'd be everywhere. It'd be on the Inquirer. Inquiring minds want to know. But, you know, this is strange. This is not normal. But it's so opposite of what, it's so opposite of what God had intended. God's saying to him, as he does to us, because you insist on being more than I made you, you'll become less than you're supposed to be. That's the outcome of pride. Because you're trying to be more than what you should be, I'm going to make you more than what you should be and what you're supposed to be. He said, in fact, I'm going to make you to be like an animal. I'm going to make you on all fours in true humility. I'm going to humble you. I'm going to come after you until you're literally eating the grass off the lawn. But when we become like an animal, you know what it does? Let's say it this way. We are most human when we are empathetic and sympathetic for other people. And when we become base like an animal, we lose that connection with other people. And that's what pride does. Pride will isolate you. It will cut you off from relationship, not only from God, but from the people around you. It'll stop you from being a person of influence, and it will take you out of the game for sure. And wouldn't the enemy love to do that, by the way? Isn't that exactly what the enemy does? He tries to isolate us. He tries to cut us off. He tries to make us feel alone. But we choose to do that ourselves, and we choose to walk in pride. And so God says, listen, because you're trying to be more than I made you, you're going to be less than you should. It's easy to say that I think I deserve that. It's easy to say that should be me. We hate people on stage sometimes because we say to ourselves that that should be me. Here's the truth. The truth is this. We can stop being prideful. We can stop being prideful. And in fact, before King Nebuchadnezzar, between the time that Daniel decreed this and interpreted the dream to the time that King Nebuchadnezzar slipped up and stood on top of his palace and said these things and God cast him out, between that was a 12-month span. And it said Nebuchadnezzar did all these things. I think we miss that sometimes. That after Daniel had said this, he said, but hey, king, maybe if you repent, maybe if you do it right, maybe God will rescind this and you'll get to keep all that you have. You know what? The king tried for 12 months. He tried for 12 months to give to the poor, to be compassionate to people. He did that for 12 months. But listen, when we don't truly have a change in the heart, when we're not truly healed, when we allow that spiritual cancer just to stay inside of us, pride will eventually find its voice. Because pride isn't just something we stop doing. Pride is something that needs to be cut out like cancer. Because pride isn't just something we stop doing. Pride is something that needs to be cut out like cancer. Does cancer ever just stay the same, by the way? Or is cancer something that continues to grow until it brings death? That's why we hate cancer. And pride is a spiritual cancer that unless it's cut out, unless we're healed from it, it's going to eventually grow and continue to fester until something really goes sideways. The good news is God loves to send those voices to warn us. The better news is God wants to heal us today. There's two ways we can do that. The first way is that you have to be able to see that you don't deserve anything from God except his judgment. Does that sound harsh? It kind of is. Until we understand that really the only thing I deserve from God is judgment, then I can't receive the second thing, which is this. You have to be able to see that you're the object of his greatest mercy. It's this balance between judgment and mercy. That until we can see something's wrong, until we can understand that we have that spiritual cancer, there's no use to going to the doctor then. There's no use getting healing then. But when we understand there's that pride inside of us, either it's the pride of the good life or the pride of the hard life, and maybe it's a small piece. Maybe for you it's big. But until we get that cut out of us, it's going to continue to grow and fester. Have you guys read the Narnia series? Love that. C.S. Lewis, the Narnia series, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. One of the books, I think it's maybe the third or the fourth book, is Voyage of the Dawn Treader. We just watched the movie the other night. The movie doesn't quite do the book justice, but there's this young boy who gets pulled into Narnia. I think it's their cousin or something, and his name is Eustace. Is that right? Is it Eustace? Anybody who knows? Eustace. Oh, what a great name, Eustace. So Eustace gets pulled in, and he's a snarky little kid. He thinks he knows everything. If you want to talk about pride, man, this kid was full of pride. And eventually in the story, they get to this island, and on this island, it's stark, and it's just nasty. It's like kind of volcanic. And Eustace goes traveling around, and he finds this treasure trove that belonged to a dragon, and the dragon was nowhere around, and so he literally jumped on this pile of gold and silver and goblets, and he fell asleep. This was mine. And when Eustace woke up, he was the dragon. When Eustace woke up, he was no longer a little boy, but he was a big, ferocious-looking dragon. And to me, it's a perfect picture of what happens when we let pride take over, that essentially and eventually we become just like an animal. And when people saw Eustace as this dragon, they didn't see a little boy anymore, but people ran from him. People wanted nothing to do with him because he was a dragon, not my best friend. It's not like Pete's dragon. This is like big fire-breathing dragons. And it separated him from people. It separated him from relationship. And he realized this. Later on in the story, he was so desperate to be free from the skin of the dragon that he began to rip off the flesh and the scales to get back to the little boy, to get back to the real Eustace. And so he'd rip the flesh off. And when he did that, all that he found was that the more he ripped and the more flesh that came off, the more he saw that underneath there were still scales, there was still skin. He was still a dragon underneath the skin and the flesh that he was ripping off. Until he had to go to Aslan. And if you know the series, Aslan is the picture of the Messiah. It's the picture of Jesus. Except in this case, he's a lion. And so he allows and he asks Aslan to help him. And Aslan comes and he's got these big lion claws. And he begins to rip. And he begins to tear at the dragon flesh on Eustace. And he says, it hurt. It hurt. But the more he tore it off, what he realizes that there was no more dragon skin underneath. It was the boy that he was inside. And after everything was gone, there was Eustace again. There was the little boy. He was who he was supposed to be, except he was changed. He was humble. He was not proud. He was who he was supposed to be in relationship to his king. I want to invite you this morning to allow Jesus to be your Aslan this morning. I don't know what you bring this morning. I know what I bring. I know that we all, in some place, some way, shape, or form, carry pride. And the funny thing is, if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I don't have any pride. That's not me. I don't have pride. That's the first sign of pride. When King Nebuchadnezzar finally turned his eyes up to heaven and acknowledged that God was God and that he wasn't, God healed him, restored him, and get this, he gave him even more than he had before, if that was possible. And even though it hurts when God does spiritual surgery on us to cut out the spiritual cancer, even though it's painful to admit, there's a piece of me that is hurting and sore and kind of gross. It's time to come to Aslan. It's time to come to Jesus Christ and say, God, would you strip away the dragon? Give me a heart of flesh where there once was a heart of stone, and make me who I'm supposed to be. I don't know about you, but I want God's will. You want God's will? God's will isn't sent to please you. God's will is not sent here to fulfill you. God's will is here to woo you to the place that you need to be before God, so that he can place you where you need to be at the right time and at the right place. That's the will of God. I'd like to invite, what's her face? Christelle, got it. I'd like to invite Christelle up here if you would. Sorry. Listen, I don't want to miss this moment, and I hope you don't either. I believe we have some dragons in here this morning that need to be restored to the person that you're supposed to be. And so I simply want to do this. I want to pray, first of all, that God would open our hearts and our minds to show us where that spiritual cancer is in us. Because I know that I have it. I know that I'm one of the people here this morning that needs to be restored. And I know that the only place that can happen is when I come to him and I say, I know that I deserve your wrath, and I thank you that I receive your mercy. And God, I invite you this morning to rip away the ugly flesh and reveal what's really supposed to be inside. It's not easy. But I want to make that offering this morning. And listen, don't miss this opportunity. Pride would have you stay in your seat this morning. Pride would say, I don't need this. Pride would say, I don't have time for this. I've got lunch in 20 minutes. Pride would say, what happens if I come up here in front? People see me. Listen, the only person that you need to be worried about seeing you is Jesus. Jesus wants to heal you, wants to restore you, wants to do a work in your heart this morning. And so as we worship just for a few minutes, literally just for a few moments, I want to invite you to come to the front here. I want to pray for you. Nothing magical about this up here. Nothing magical. But I tell you, something special happens when we move out, sometimes physically, and say, Jesus, that's me. I identify with that, and I want you to do work in my heart. I want to give room for that this morning. And so we're just going to worship.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.